I want to talk to you about guarding the sheep. Guarding the sheep. You say, well, this is not a salvation message. No, it's not. Yet it is. It can save your soul. A lot of Christians need to be saved. I'm not talking about just from sin, but from false doctrines. And we're going to believe the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, you put this message on my heart. You told me what to preach this morning. Now, I didn't get this from a man. I didn't get it out of a book. You directed me directly into this. You told me that this was to be preached this morning. I don't know who's here. You do, Holy Spirit. And I pray for grace and mercy to preach this in great love and compassion. Lord, I'm not on a soapbox this morning. I'm not speaking my own heart and my own mind. Let this message go out through America and let it be a warning. Let it be a cry, a trumpet cry from the very heart of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Guarding the sheep. Paul the Apostle was on his way to Jerusalem, and he decided to stop at the church at Ephesus. Now, this was not a large church, a small body of believers. And Paul had been there a number of times. In fact, he'd spent 3 years at one time working and ministering with the Ephesian church. And he comes this time his way to Jerusalem, and he says, this is the last time I'm going to see you. It's going to be my last message. You will see my face no more. He said, but I'm here to bring you a message. It's a message that I brought to you, and I'm going to give you one last warning. He said, for 3 years, I preached in your church with tears. For 3 years, I went house to house warning you of what's coming to your church. I'm here now to call the leaders together and the pastors, and I want you to hear it one more time. With tears, he said, I warned you night and day for 3 years what I see coming upon the church when I'm gone. Now, what was it that so grieved him to tears for 3 years? That every time he went into a home, and he made sure he went to every house of every believer, and he didn't talk about the weather, he was not talking to his church about anything outside the body. He was not talking about unemployment that was going to come. He knew that these things were coming. He knew that there was going to be trials and temptations, persecution. But he's not talking, he's not warning about that. He's not warning about a coming invasion of homosexuality or pastors being ordained in the ministry. He's not talking about those things that concern many of us today outside the church. He's not talking about the Roman government coming and restricting the gospel. He's not even talking about the pastors that are going through real testing times. He's not saying, many of you, after I leave, you're going to go through the battle of your life. The enemy is going to come against you. You're going to wonder why there's not a lot of fruit. The church may not grow by leaps and bounds. He's not talking about church growth. He's not talking about anything. He's talking about something he sees coming inside the body, inside the walls of the church. He's grieved over something, and he stands now to warn you pastors, you shepherds. The Holy Ghost has made you overseers. And I'm quoting from Acts 20. I'm reading from the 20th chapter, and I'll be staying a lot in this chapter. Reading from Acts 20, 28. The Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. He's saying, pastors, elders, feed the flock. Get your people well fed, because the enemy that's coming is going to go after the weak sheep. He said, feed the flock. God's made you overseers. Now you feed the flock, because something is coming to deceive and try to scatter this flock. Chapter 20, verse 29 and 30. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. Now look at me, please. Paul the Apostle says, right now you are blessed. You're a faithful people. This is a powerful church. In fact, later, remember that Jesus himself was going to say to the Ephesian church, and so many good things, he said, I know that you don't put up with false preachers. He said, I know that you're faithful. I know that you have a heart for me. Those were the good things he said. Even then, and Paul is saying, you have a good foundation. But he said, something's coming. Something is coming that could destroy this church and the body of Christ if you don't wake up, if you don't see what is coming. He said, the Lord says you were patient. You don't put up with evil. You've exposed false preachers. You're faithful. But he said, if you're not careful, this church will not be spared. I tell you, folks, that not even this church can be spared. Not a church on the face of the earth can be spared of what Paul saw coming in his day and even to the last day. And it's what has already come to the Church of Jesus Christ here in America and around the world. We're not spared unless the word of the Lord comes and strengthens us. Unless from this pulpit and every pulpit around the world there's a pure word. Unless a warning is raised. And pastors are not afraid to stand up and take a stand and preach till there is strength and there is discernment to know what is of flesh and what is of the Spirit. In Revelation 2, Jesus said of the Ephesian church, and this is years later, he said, you've left your first love. Why did they leave their first love? I believe they left their first love, and the Lord said, you better repent, lest I take away your lampstand, lest you no longer be a witness to the world. And I believe what happened is the very thing that Paul warned about. They were not careful. And he said, there's going to be wolves come. There's going to be perverse people rise up in your midst, and they're going to start teaching error. They're going to teach things that are perverse. Perversity here in the original Greek means tenacious promotion of error. Tenacious. They won't give up. They get a hold of something that they bring into the church. They rise up within the church. But he said, there are wolves that are coming, and they're not going to spare the flock. They're going to be self-seeking. They're going to make merchandise out of you. Beloved, Paul the Apostle is gone. He's not here. But the wolves and the perverse teachers have come. These wolves have invaded the house of God. I see these wolves all over the world. I see these teachers of perversity, of error in the Church of Jesus Christ. It's splitting churches. It's scattering sheep everywhere. Jesus warned of their coming also. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. He said they're going to be greedy pastors and greedy evangelists, is what he's saying, and teachers. And they're going to be dressed as the Lord's sheep. They're going to come as angels of light to deceive, if it were possible, even the elect of God. Ezekiel 25, I read, there's a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst, like roaring lions tearing a prey apart. They're devouring lives. They have taken treasures of precious things. They're like wolves tearing the prey. They're destroying lives in order to get dishonest gain. They have wronged the poor and the needy. These are the wolves who substituted cash for the cross. These are money-mad preachers on television, money-mad preachers saying that God's desire for you is that you have the best car, You have the best house. You have the best of everything. And there's not one word of sin. There's not one of repentance. Not one word of the cross. It's all money, money, money. Folks, my Bible calls them for what they are. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. And they'll give you 90% of what sounds like gospel. They'll give you something that makes you think, there's a great teacher. And then out it comes. How many will give $1,000? There's an evangelist going around now selling healing for cancer for $1,000. For $500, you can come up here and get a prayer for anything. But if you have cancer, it's going to cost you $1,000. How blind so many Christians, how blind so many pastors being led into the prosperity gospel. Folks, I'm going to take a stand around the world. I just got a letter from a bishop in one country we were in last year, and with tears, he said, I have tears in my heart because when you and Gary came, the Lord moved on you to take a stand against this. And our young pastors and others were about to give themselves over to this. And God has stopped it in its tracks. And the glory of the Lord's coming down in our churches. Let me describe a wolf. Paul said, wolves are coming. And they're not going to spare you. They're going to try to build their own fortune on the back of the poor and the needy. I got a call this week from a pastor, heartbroken. He and his wife were listening to an evangelist on television. He said, Pastor Dave, when I heard this, my wife screamed. She said, no, oh, turn it off. And this man is one of the most popular prosperity preachers in America. And folks, this is the basis. This is where it comes down to. And this is why I stand here to blow a trumpet. This man that some of you sitting here, I had a woman tell me across the street the other day, you have to listen to this brother. He has such a powerful message. Some of you getting his tapes. And this is what he said this week. He said, you've heard of the coming of Jesus, but he can't come at any time. Jesus can't come and will not come until you're prospered. You tell me that that's the gospel? That is blasphemy. Jesus said, look for his appearing. He said, I'll come when you least expect them in the trumpet call and the sound, the twinkling of an eye. I was sent a tape, a videotape, and a heartbroken man said, please listen to it. Somebody has to make a sound. Somebody has to warn. And the pastor, the doctrine was being taught in that prosperity conference was this. If you want to be prospered, find the most prosperous evangelist or teacher you can find in America, and you go give him money, and his blessing will flow on you. I saw it. I couldn't believe it. And while he's preaching, he evidently was known as the most prosperous among them. And all through his preaching, people from right and left were coming stuffing his pockets with money. They were coming up throwing money on the stage. And at the end of it, they were singing a song, run for the money. And they were running around the place, running for the money. Falling prostrate and making sounds, running for the money. Saints, wake up! It shocks and amazes me how Bible-believing Christians can be so deceived. Jeremiah 5:27, their houses are full of deceit. There they have become great and they've become rich. They're fat and sleek, but they don't preach the cause of the orphans. that they may prosper. They do not defend the rights of the poor, shall I not punish them? An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. They're prophesying falsely, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do at the end of it all? What will you do when the hard times come? And I'm telling you, the times are coming. He's going to bankrupt every one of the wolves. He's going to bankrupt them. He's going to bankrupt the prosperity preacher who said, I'm tearing down my house, and I'm going to build a house that Solomon would be proud of. And when my town and when my city sees my mansion and my Rolls Royce, they'll know there's a God in heaven. Very words. We as shepherds have been called to guard the sheep. Pastors, leaders, Paul says, guard yourself first of all, and all the flock that you oversee, feed them. My work and the work of every pastor, our greatest concern is to make sure no wolves get into this congregation, that you never become prey to a perverse gospel. I know how we pray. I know how I pray. I know how I pray. God, never. And as long as the pastors that you have now are in this pulpit, there will never come, God helping us, there will never come a wolf into this pulpit. There will never come a perverse gospel into this pulpit. But we can't help when somebody hands you a tape. We can't help it when somebody hands you a book. We can't help it when somebody comes to, oh, you got to go down to Virginia. You got to go here. You got to go there. And there's a revival there. There's something there. You better check it out. You better check it out before you get the virus that can poison you and destroy you. God's people become obsessed. In the Old Testament, there's a story. I was reading Amos yesterday, and I see the same thing. Nothing is new. God warned Amos that Israel was going to face a famine. Not a famine of food, but a famine of the Word of God. God's people become obsessed, he said, with the shekel. That means for us it would be the dollar. Obsessed with materialism. And yet they were despising the poor and anyone who was unsuccessful. That they were being mocked, and the prophet Amos cries out, you swallow up the needy. You make the shekel great. You falsify the balances. You're trying to buy the poor for your silver and the needy for a pair of shoes. Surely I will not forget any of these works. He said, you're taking the shoes off the feet of the widows. You're taking the money of the poor. Listen, folks, if you were here this morning and you hear an evangelist putting pressure on you saying, I don't care if it's your rent money. I don't care if it's your food money. You give to me and God will give you back 100-fold. And the scripture is used, well, the widow that gave Elijah the prophet her last little meal. Folks, these are not Elijahs telling you that. Those are not Elijahs. You're hearing it from wolves. Now, folks, I am not marking every man. There are some in this ministry that have been ensnared. Some young pastors, especially, and others said, that's all we've ever known. And then when they hear the truth, God begins to melt their heart and draw them back to the cross. And there's some of them now that may hear this tape and say, Brother Dave, you're putting me down, and this is all I know. Yes, God wants to bless his people. God, I don't care how wonderful your house is. You can be living in a $5 million home. I'm not knocking Rolls Royces or BMWs or anything else. I'm not knocking that. No, I'm saying that to replace the cross, to make this the focus of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the gospel of wolves, the scripture says very clearly. What does God tell Amos? Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. They shall wander. In other words, they shall run to and fro from sea to sea. They're going to seek a word from the Lord, and they shall not find it. They're going to faint for thirst. And folks, this is the great concern of our Heavenly Father, that kind of gospel that takes you away from cross, takes you away from self-sacrifice, takes you away from the prayer closet, takes you away from repentance and brokenness before God. Anything that takes you away from that is going to cause you to end up in a famine. God says, you seek that. He said, I told you to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'll take care of all these other things. You seek me first. You go after holiness and righteousness. I'll take care of you. Even in hard times, unemployment, I'll take care of you. But he didn't say, seek the things of this world. In fact, he said, seek not the things of this world. The world are the things that are in this world. For if any man love the things of this world, the love of the Father is not in him. Folks, I'm giving you Bible. I'm not just speaking out of my innermost. I'm talking now Bible. I'm giving you scripture. Paul warns. He said, you go after the shekels or you go after the money, you're going to wind up in famine. Your soul is going to, you'll wander from meeting to meeting, from sea to sea, the prophet Amos said. You're going to run everywhere looking for some new exciting thing. You're going to go looking for a word from God, somebody to prophesy over you. Everywhere we go, we meet pastors and others who 20 years ago, 10 years ago, someone gave a word. You're going to be great. You're going to win thousands of souls, all kinds of words, and not a bit of it has ever happened. And now they're discouraged and ready to quit. And they don't believe anything anymore because somebody told them or gave them a prophecy and gave them a word. Folks, listen to me. If you're going to get a word, you're going to get it by yourself on your face before God reading this Bible. You'll be reading this word. You'll be so in love with Jesus and so full of the Holy Ghost in your bedroom or wherever your secret closet is. And if you get a word from anybody, it's just going to confirm what you heard from your time with God alone. Well, I don't like to preach like this. I want to get people happy and blessed. But I've been called to be a watchman, and I'm going to stand before. I'll stand before you on Judgment Day. I'll stand before the throne of Christ with you. And you'll thank God and you'll thank your pastors that this flock has been guarded. There have been walls that have been put up. Paul warns that there's even a more dangerous invasion that would come to the Ephesian church. And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Speaking perverse things to misinterpret, distort, and corrupt the truth. Obstinate persistence in promoting an error. Now let me zero in on who Paul's talking about. These are not wolves. They're not robbers of the widows. Many of them are lovers of the poor and they're givers. They don't despise the poor. They're not adulterers or fornicators. They're really not evil men. But he said, they're among you. They're in the church. They're going to rise up and they're going to draw people to themselves. These are preachers and teachers who shrink or cower from preaching the whole counsel of God, who give a watered-down half-gospel. And a watered-down gospel is worse than no gospel. Paul told the Ephesian church, I did not shrink I did not compromise from declaring to you all the counsel of God. I was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I go on record, this is verse 26, chapter 20. I go on record this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men because I did not shun to preach to you the whole gospel. You see, the gospel is good news. Yes, the gospel is comforting. The gospel is the greatest news on the face of the earth. We preach that good news. We preach encouragement. We preach faith. But it also includes preaching of the sinfulness of sin. It includes preaching about hell. You will not hear a message about hell in this thing, this kind of teaching that is creeping into the body of Jesus Christ now, that you don't offend people. You don't offend. You be sensitive now to how you present the gospel. Don't talk about being washed in the blood. That sounds like heathenism. You don't talk about the song we sang this morning, plunged in the fountain of cleansing. What do you mean? Do they dip you? This talk of blood, this talk of hell, having the very thought that people would come in and you would preach a message of the fans. I wonder in some churches if Jesus could preach. Paul could not preach in many of these churches now. Can you imagine him turning people over to the devil that their soul might be saved, their flesh might be saved? Can you imagine Paul the apostle standing and saying the cross is an offense? That Christ the cornerstone is an offense to the world? You're going to preach the whole gospel. You're going to preach about sacrifice. You're going to preach self-denial. You're going to preach that it's possible that God may demand or accept of us martyrdom like he did of all of the disciples. Sacrifice. Weeping before a cross. Weeping for lost souls. Hearing a convicting message like Peter on the day of Pentecost. He said, you've crucified him. And then they are so stirred and so convicted, they fall down and say, what must we do to be saved? That is the whole gospel. It's not just blessing. It's not just how to survive. No, see, the Holy Ghost has to get to the root of sin. He has to get down, and I thank God. They call my preaching, I hear so many today. I've been preaching 50 years. I've been preaching of the blood sacrifice of the cross. I've been preaching about walking in the righteousness by faith. I've been talking about the danger of pornography and drunkenness. I've been preaching and naming sin for 50 years and examining my own heart first and weeping over my own needs to get my heart sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And now they call my preaching old-fashioned. They call all the preaching from this pulpit out of date. They say it's not relative anymore. It's not seeker-sensitive. But let me tell you why I'm not going to give up this kind of preaching. Let me tell you why. Christ, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them who stumbled the word, being disobedient. He said, the disobedient who don't want to forsake their sins, the moment you give them the straight gospel, they're going to get up and walk out on you. But Paul the apostle said, I'm going on record. I'm on a record right now in front of you. I've got no blood on my hands. And folks, I will have no blood on my hands, nor will any pastor in this church. We will not have any blood for having denied you that which convicts you of your sin. I recently was, I had voiced to somebody, I sound sometimes like such a hard preacher, and I wish I could just be a happy preacher. You know, I am happy, but you know what I mean? And a woman from this church, I was in a restaurant. She tapped me on the shoulder, said, and she was a model. She said, "Brother, they don't ever stop. I've been coming to this church for a number of years, and it was that kind of preaching that kept me straight before God." Straight before God. I want you, let me tell you the real reason now. Because you see, the new gospel and Bible said they will draw men to themselves. They're drawing multiplied thousands. Multiplied thousands. They're drawing men to themselves. Now, I have nothing against any of these men. I pray for them. I weep for them. There are some things that I need to learn. See, God's not against some of the that give you all kinds of advice and things to change in the church. That's fine. That's acceptable. That's not what grieves God. I don't care how many people walk down with flags. I don't care how much greenery you put. I don't care all of the things that you're told to do. I don't care how many of these outward things that are done. It's what happens from the pulpit. It's the gospel that's being preached. It's the hiding of truth. It's holding back that which brings repentance and brokenness. We had a young preacher that we led in this that came here, a young singer, a young lady, and you would know her name. She had just come from one of these massive churches, and she just sang, and the Spirit began to move, and people were weeping, and someone was getting up and coming to the front, kneeling down to repent. The pastor called the staff meeting the next day. He said, "Never again will that be allowed in this church. Never." Broke her heart. She came here, and the Holy Spirit moved at the same time in a wonderful way. And you see, it's this fuzzy, warm, half-gospel. Not to offend anybody. Well, let me tell you what has put the fear of God in my soul. I want you to go to Ezekiel, please. 33rd chapter. Everybody, go to Ezekiel. I'm going to finish in just a few moments. Now, maybe a few have walked out. Maybe they had to catch a plane. I don't know. I would hope that's the reason. But folks, when you read this, 33rd chapter, let's begin to read at verse 3. If when he seeth, this is the watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and takes not warning, if the sword come and take away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, the sword come and take any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So now, O son of man, I've set thee as a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thy hands. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. In verse 13, when I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but his iniquity which he hath committed, he shall die for it. You say that's Old Testament, that's not the cross. No, folks, he's saying from the pulpit, don't condemn the righteous, but preach that which will convict the righteous. I don't want the blood of anyone that comes into this church a sinner. Folks, I remember the day when this church was launched, the first building, and a group of men dressed as women, transvestites, sat in the middle. And I'm sitting ready to get up to preach. And I said, Lord, what do I do? Folks, what kind of message? Am I just going to comfort men that I know are living in a personal hell? And you see a young actress who said on this side is on the verge of suicide. And I knew about it. And there were others here that were in show business, and they were coming here praising the Lord, and they're going to the shows performing these evil shows where Christ was being mocked, cursing, and sexual innuendos. What do? You stand there and be afraid to offend? And I remember that day preaching about sin through tears and naming not their particular sin, but naming the fact that there's a day going to stand before a holy God on judgment day and answer for what you hear, and to see God get a hold of those. And folks, some of those were totally delivered, married now. If there hadn't come a message from this pulpit, they would have died in their sins. But you see, he said, you warn. I'm going to require the blood. You say, oh, that's Old Testament. That's what they... Well, then, poor Jesus, who quoted from Isaiah. Poor Paul, who talked about the prophets. And in Acts, it says all the prophets confirm the coming of Christ. All the prophets. It's not just an Old Testament message. Now let me give you the words of Jesus himself. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but he that's a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own sheep are not, he sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. Then Jesus said, the good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. That's why we preach as we do, congregation. That's why this watchman's cry comes to this pulpit. May I give you a good word, a prophetic word now? You know that we never close our message unless we give you hope. And what I see coming is good news. I see God raising up, and we find them all over the world now also. These are mostly young people and middle-aged and even grandfathers in the ministry. They're getting sick and tired. They say, it doesn't work. My sheep are being scattered. And there are young men that come to us. I mean, they flock to Gary. My son Gary's in his 40s. And those of his age flock to him like bees to honey. They say, we're tired of the hype. We're tired. We don't want... It's not bigness. Jesus didn't say to Peter, count the sheep. He said, feed them. Yeah. Feed them. And These young men are seeking God. They are on fire in prayer, and they're getting revelation such as I've never seen. And everyone say the same thing. We believe that something is going to come soon to shake the world, and we want to be ready. We want to be an army to go forth prepared, because people are going to be looking for the word. The Bible said there's going to be a famine because of the people being cheated by it, and this famine, because the prophet said, I sound like a song to them, and they don't want to hear the preaching, and they love it so. But the day is coming, folks. It's going to happen in maybe 1 hour. But the Bible said Babylon falls in 1 hour. In 1 hour, the panic will come. And when that does, bankruptcy for all of these ministries, exposure to all of these ministries, it's all going to be over. And folks, God has in place right now just what he wants. He's got an army of pastors and evangelists and teachers who are seeking God's face. And folks, this is going to be the greatest hour of evangelism in the history of the world. More people will be hungry. They're going to be open to the gospel, and they're going to flee from these churches. You think that a person that is facing problems and things that they've never seen before are going to want to go in church and just hear a sermonette for Christianettes? I'm not trying to be facetious. With this, I close. Right after 9/11, the churches here were packed. Right after the disaster and the Twin Towers fall, these churches were flooded. And people were standing up. You heard me tell it. They're standing up right in church saying, Pastor, what's this all about? Is it God? Is it the devil? Or is it an accident? And 6 months later, hardly anybody's going to church compared to before. There are less people going than before 9/11. Why? Because they were cheated. They were cheated. And you heard the message that went out from here. The towers have fallen and we missed the message. And you heard Pastor Carter. You heard every pastor. The young people heard it from Pastor Patrick. We're not boasting. I say this humbly and broken before a holy God. God is warning you. There's going to come some of it. You're going to hear the most incredible, foolish, and it's going to sound like truth, because they're going to come as angels of light. Another Christ, another the gospel. And you'd better have discernment. You don't need to run anywhere. If you don't get it in your secret closet, you're not going to get it anywhere. If you don't get it from this Bible, you're not going to get it from any evangelist or pastor anywhere on the face of the earth. Amen. No clapping, please. Stand. Now, Times Square Church, folks, please don't leave it. Hands hold steady for just a while. What I preach to you, I've been mandated now to go and preach this in the next 2.5 weeks, and then to Peru, and wherever I go with Gary, to warn and to make a trumpet cry. And folks, we're going to be battled with this. All hell to come against this kind of message. Sure need your prayers. I need your prayers. And let me tell you the kind of invitation that I give. When I was praying yesterday and a good part of this week in prayer, this is what I hear from the Holy Spirit, what I've heard. I heard again this morning. That there be some visiting here and others who have been attending this church. And you've been drifting. You're not grounded. And you're not mixing the word with faith. And the Bible said, if you don't mix the word with faith, it doesn't do you any good. It just goes in one ear and out the other. And you have lacked that faith. You've come to the house of God and let your mind wander. You have not focused enough to say, oh God, lay hold of my heart. And there's some of you walked in here today. You're in the annex and here, the balcony here, in the main floor. And the Lord sent you. And somewhere in this message this morning, something that was said, just like a knife inside, just hurt. And some of you have been listening. You're already, you've got an ear. I don't know whether it's on television, listening to somebody's tapes. But there's a virus in it. And if you're not careful, and the Bible says you're to repent. And I'm going to make this invitation. If you're here now and say, Pastor David, I've been hearing something. And folks, if you're from Times Square Church and anybody begins to talk to you about going someplace and they're handing you a book, it doesn't take but a few minutes to ask an usher, somebody, to bring it backstage and let us just tell you. And if there's error, we'll point it out to you and show you where it is. And you can be protected. If you have a tape, we have people that would listen to that tape that bring it to the ministers. We'll protect you. We'll protect you. We're not saying we have the only message, but this is what Paul said to the leaders of the Ephesian church. You're the overseers. He's talking to the elders and the pastors. He said, now you guard yourself and you feed and guard your flock. Now, I'm going to open this altar, open here at the front. Folks, we are not interested at all in just packing these altars and people coming from everywhere. If only five people come, this will be an answer to prayer. But wherever you're at, you say, Pastor David, this message is for me. And some of you don't even know Christ. You come in here. You've been waiting and waiting. But now is the day of salvation. Today is the day here at Times Square Church, crossroads of the world, Times Square, where Jesus is calling you to make a full surrender of your life. No more games. No more playing with the things of God, but dead serious about the things of God. I want you to get out of your seat. Up the balcony, you go this way, either side, and in the overflow, you go to the lobby, go turn around to the back. The ushers will show you how to get into this main auditorium and come down the aisle and meet me here, and we'll pray. There's some people that need this virus to be removed, plucked out by the roots, and say, oh God, I'm not looking for exciting things anymore. I'm not going to listen to men dragging or women dragging me. I want to be grounded in the Word of God. Oh, Jesus, keep us from this invasion. God, we pray for your church, how you love your church. Lord, how you love your people, your sheep. How you care for your sheep. Lord, you love everyone in this house, in the annex, the overflow rooms, wherever my voice is heard. Lord, you love your people. And Lord, we see these things coming, but our hearts are at peace. We're at rest, Lord, because the word of the Lord is in our hearts hidden. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And Lord, that sin is to fall into error and look for self. Oh God, we humble ourselves before you now. We humble ourselves. You that came forward, will you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I humble my heart and I confess my need. I need you, Lord. I need you to touch me. I need you to heal my spirit and draw me closer to you. Lord Jesus, let me not get my eyes on men or individuals, but keep my eyes focused on you. Cleanse me, Lord. Give me power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to live an overcoming life. Jesus, keep me from the wolves and from error, and help me to go deeper into the Word. Now let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I've unburdened my heart, and I preach what I know that I know that I know you had me bring from this pulpit this morning. This message goes out on internet and tape and DVDs all over the world. Lord, go with the message, but most of all, go with it into our hearts here at Times Square Church this morning. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, you said you would be to us a wall of fire round about and the glory therein. You build a Holy Ghost wall, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that we will not be deceived, because there are going to be gospels coming so deceptive that if it's possible, even the elect could be deceived. But it will not be possible to those who are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for these that have come to humble themselves before you. Now satisfy every longing of their heart and meet them. Oh God, meet them. Lord, I come against now, in the name of Jesus Christ, every doctrine of a wolf, every doctrine of perversion, perverseness. My God, remove it. If there's anyone that has this virus, heal them right now in this congregation. Heal them this day in this service. Lord, let this message be an antidote. An antidote, oh God. A good medicine to cure the virus. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Lord, I thank you for loving me enough to warn me, and loving me enough to let me warn this people. And so we rest in you now with peace, the joy of the Lord that is our strength.